The Life Inside by Andy West. Read by Simon Darwin. For my brother. Ideas are substitutes for griefs. Marcel Proust. By my guilt, I further gained the right to intelligence. Jean Genet. Author's note. Names and details of people, places and events have been changed or merged. Events have also been moved around in time. I've done this to protect privacy, maintain sensitivity towards victims, avoid compromising both prison and personal security, and narrativize my experiences into a personal story. There is no such thing as the prison or the prisoner. There are a multitude of prisons, and each person in prison has their own experience. Whilst this book aims to capture something of that plurality, it is foremost written from my subjective viewpoint as someone who had family in prison and now teaches inside. Classroom dialogues are drawn from a period of 4 years. I've tried to render the essence of the conversations, even when I wasn't able to recall what was said word for word. I have written my personal experiences as I remember them, and where possible, I have done research or conferred with others to check the truthfulness of my memories. However, some may recollect things differently. My students in prison are not allowed access to social media. They cannot publish anything in public without the Ministry of Justice's permission, and many of them have difficulties writing. A lot of them live with a social stigma, which often means their voices are not heard, or that they may not wish to talk about their experience if that means outing themselves as a prisoner or ex-prisoner. As I worked on this book, I was aware that I was writing about people who often don't have the chance to write about themselves. Everyone has stories to tell, but only some are afforded the privilege to share stories with a larger audience. I've tried to remain mindful of the responsibility that comes with the opportunity that has been given to me. Where necessary, I've consulted ex-prisoners, colleagues, and academics to check my understanding. Thank you to my relatives, who have entrusted me with telling their stories. I hope I have succeeded in writing about them with honesty and care. Identity. Justice. To be ever ready to admit that another person is something quite different from what we read when he is there. Simone Veil. The man standing next to me inside the lift looks uncannily like my father, who I've not seen for 20 years since he was sent to prison. He is short, has yellowed fingertips, and the sleeves of his oversized suit jacket brush his knuckles. I've seen men who look like my father before, while I was on buses and trains, or standing at urinals in pub toilets. I've seen them in London, Manchester, Berlin, and Rio de Janeiro. In the lift, I glance at him, and I recognize the permanently clenched jaw, the emphysemic wheeze in the breathing. I pull my shirt sleeve over my wrist to conceal my watch and ask him for the time. He doesn't answer with a Scouse accent, and therefore he's not my dad. Neither were the men in Germany or Brazil. We travel up another 5 floors in silence. The lift stops, the doors open, and he exits. Tomorrow morning, I'll be going into a prison for the first time. I'll be teaching philosophy to men. A few months ago, I wrote a piece in The Guardian about teaching philosophy, where I mentioned that my dad, brother and uncle did time inside. Last month, a philosopher called Jamie, from a local university, asked me to co-teach in jail. I assume I've been invited to work on the project because I'll be a good fit culturally, because I might understand convict logic in a way that most Tractatus clutching types wouldn't. Since Jamie asked me to work with them, I've been noticing a pair of heavy ankle-length black boots in a shop window. It's spring, and I'm in the habit of wearing soft leather Oxford shoes with stone-washed jeans twice rolled up at the bottom. This afternoon, I went into the shop. They only had the boots in a size 10. I'm a size 9, but that doesn't matter to me, so I bought them. The next morning in prison, Jamie and I have set the chairs up in a circle and wait for our students. The classroom doubles as an art room. It's like the art classrooms from my school days, except there are bars on the windows, and the pencils and paintbrushes and anything else with a pointed end are kept in padlock cupboards. I look over the pages of our lesson plan on